Well, I desire your prayers tonight. I feel like the Lord has given me a little thought. I've put my thought on the board. It's a scripture from Galatians 4 and 4. It says, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. There was a time after creation, after the fall of man, that the Lord looked down upon the earth and seeing that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And He then found Noah, and the scripture says that his spirit wouldn't always strive with men, but that they'd be about 120 years. And it happened. Time filled up. It came to pass. A section of time can be marked. It filled up. After the floodwaters decreased, men began to multiply the face of the earth again. The people of God through Abraham had went down into Egypt. Their cries came out to God. And it time. There was time. I don't know why God picks the times that He does. But there was a space of a long time, generations of people. But there come a time that time had filled up. It was made right again. And it filled up completely to the brim. It's full. It's time. Time for deliverance. And it filled up. And the people of God came out of Egypt. The time was full. But there had been all the way from the beginning, all the way through those times, there had been a promise. There was a promise that there would be one come. There'd be one come. And people looked for it. Those that had knowledge longed for it. They looked for this, that there was going to be one come. The people of God looked for it. They saw the tyranny. They saw their subjection. To heathen people, they saw all that and they longed that it would come. But it took a time. The fullness of time. And in the fullness of time, all of it came together. All the right elements. I don't know about it altogether. But the elements that God wanted to come together, He made it come together. I don't know. I wondered why He allowed it to do that. Perhaps He wanted people to have the opportunity to do everything that they could try to do to make things better for themselves through the law. But it didn't work. Or to try to accomplish, I don't know. But in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. I want to leave that as a kind of a backdrop and look at the 11th chapter of Matthew. And in the first verse, it says, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed hence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of His disciples. I want to talk a little bit about John. John the Baptist's ministry, not like my ministry. Now when I got saved and the Lord called me to preach, I already had a fairly well-established organization by men before me that I basically fell under the umbrella. I mean, there was places, there was pulpits already for me to preach at. There was already, by that time, Brother Sammons, he said in my behalf many times, oh, in that old rough voice, oh, he's all right, he'd say. People would ask, who's this guy? And he'd say, oh, he's all right. I had anyway. I remember John the Baptist came, and I marvel at this. John the Baptist came, and he didn't have all of that. God bless him. He was very successful. John the Baptist was sent by God to do something, and he fulfilled it. But I don't know that they said there was a big organization behind it. There wasn't nothing. John the Baptist came by the Spirit of the Lord and began to preach the things of God, and the people responded to it. This is very important, folks, to the gospel work. John was instrumental in the gospel, because what happened was there was a basis for people to have faith. But it had been a long time, and the Lord needed someone to come in and plow. He come in and plow. John started a national discussion. He came in at a time, and he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, he told him. The axe was laid at the root of the tree now. He came and there was, I know this by the scriptures, you remember the time that the Pharisees asked Jesus, said, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, I'm not going to answer that, but if you can answer me a question, I'll answer you. By what authority did John preach? Or where was John from? And they counseled together and said, if we say that John the Baptist's ministry was not of God, then the people's going to stone us, because they're persuaded he's a prophet. But if we say yes, then he's going to say, then why don't you listen to him? They had him cornered the way they saw it. So he said they didn't answer, and Jesus said, I'm not answering you either. But it proves that John's ministry had hit the national stage. It was able to touch. There was a discussion going over John's ministry. There was no doubt, if you'll give me this liberty, in my mind it had to be this way. There was people discussing, have you heard this man named John? Have you went and seen him? Have you heard the power of his ministry? Do you know he's preaching the truth out there? Do you know he's touching a chord with our lineage? He's touching a chord with something's in there. I know there's more to this than this old pharisaical thing. My heart's telling me there's something else. God's will, there's something being discussed here. They were persuaded. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. Something's going on with this man. There's a national discussion now. He brought an enlightening to them. A discussion. Before the Lord come, it was necessary that there be this disturbance, this discussion, so that when Jesus come, there's this discussion, there's this mind, that he was enlightening. It was a time of enlightening to the people. And John took that role, and the way it sounds, and I think of it this way, that must have been thrilling to him. John played a major role in the work of the gospel. And that must have been thrilling to see God working and people coming down to that place there to be baptized, to say that, yes, the kingdom's at hand and I want to be ready. And listening to that and getting ready for that coming of that one that John told them, it's not me. It's not me. There's one coming after me that I ain't worthy to unlatch his shoes. You all get ready. There's one coming. There's one coming. Time was being filled up. The time was being filled up. And John's in prison. You know why John's in prison? Because he was telling the truth. Wasn't enough to tell him to repent if he didn't tell him what to repent of. John was full in his ministry, folks. You can't tell me he would just say that to the king and leave the multitude in the wilderness untold. He was telling them to get away from your idolatry. Turn away thieving and stealing. Turn your heart back to God. He's a holy God. His ministry was enlightening, see. And he was in prison because of what he told the king. You're unlawful in what you're doing. So, well, we'll catch you and put you in jail. So he sends two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I don't know. I hope you all will give me this liberty. I pondered this. Well, John, didn't you know? Listen, folks, his ministry had been successful. He had done the work of the Lord. But he's filled up. His time was full. I'm willing to be religious, folks. I'm willing to give my life to the Lord, but I got to know it's Him.
That's right. Yes.
I got to know that if I'm giving my life for this thing, this is what the Lord wants.
Right.
If it's what the Lord wants, I want to give it, but I got to know.
Yes.
Lord, help me to know
right. That
this is the right way. Witness to me. And John's there now. His time's filled up. The thing is that I don't know what all of him may have been thinking, but he wanted something from him. He heard the works of Christ. He wanted to know, are you him? Send the disciples and find out. Have you ever been in a place like that? I've been in a place like that before, to where I was desperate here. Lord, I'm willing to do anything, but I sure need to know that if you lead me, I don't want to just go this way for naught, or just because I can be hard-headed about religious principles. Lord, I need something. Help me to know. There was no secret code between them. There was no lightnings and thunders. The Lord could have said, Father, John's in a bad way. Send Gabriel down. Spend the night with him that way. Convince him that way. He didn't do it. This is what he said to him. I'm glad he did, because I can get a hold of this too. The visitations, I love those visitations. But the Lord told him what to tell him. Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He'll know what they mean. He'll know what they mean. The blind receive their sight. Isn't that wonderful? It is wonderful. Thank the Lord. I don't think John's ministry had that in it. He preached repentance. He preached to get ready for the kingdom. But the one coming is going to heal the blind. The one coming back is going to be the one to heal the blind, receive their sights, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell John that. Go tell him the things that you see and that you hear. He'll recognize the prophecies. He knows what Isaiah said. He knows what's already been told. Go remind him. A simple reminder. Go remind him of that. But this next phrase is what I want to deal with a little bit. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I pondered that. What Jesus was sending that to John? Was it for John? Was it for his disciples? Is it for all of us? John, what you got in your mind now? You done a wonderful work. You led the way. It worked. Your time's run out. It's cold there in that prison, isn't it, John? You were honored by the nation. But you ain't going to die that way, John. Go remind him if he's Christ. I worked for him. Go remind him that I laid the way. Yes, John, the blind's are seeing. I am Christ. John must have heard those words. Yes, yes, yes. And blessed are they who are not offended in me, O Lord. O Lord, what have you chosen for me here? What have you picked for me? I've worked for you. I've worked for you. Your time is full, John. Is it a losing proposition for John? I think the Lord said it for more than John.
Yes.
Don't be offended in me, John.
Right.
You win your crown. You've done it. You've done what the whole creation groaned for. You had one of the most major parts in this that a man could have.
Yes.
Jesus testified high of John. But he also said to him, blessed he who is not offended in me. John, don't be offended by the last of it. You've got your honor. your glory while you worked here, but ain't going to end in glory, John. It's about over. And not only that for John, but do you know that there was people that loved John dearly? The thought that God would allow that to happen, if you'll give me this liberty, as being a human. There had to be many, many people discouraged when John's head come off. He was a prophet. You're Jesus? You're the one that he plowed for? Could you have not have come? Wasn't there some people one time that said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Blessed are those who are not offended in me. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. But the fullness of time will get us all.
That's right.
There is things that are more than those things. He proved who he was by them. It was prophesied that he would have power over it all. And he did it. But he said to these, don't be offended. Don't be offended by what happens in life. Don't allow your faith to waver because of what's happened in life.
Amen.
Oh, I think of Samson. Oh, Samson. I don't know. It was always hard for me to read Samson's name in Hebrews. Samson was a hero of faith. And he was out there with those women doing those things. And doing like that, he didn't seem like much of a hero to me for most of his life. But I'm going to tell you what was heroic. And why his name's wrote down there. Because he was robbed, and it was stolen from, and he was blind, and he was weak, and he's helpless. But faith came, and he believed in the Lord. And those last moments of Samson's life is worthy of note. He was the one that was blind and out, but yet he said when the hair growing back had something to do with that. Something came back. He got a hold of something once again, and it wasn't selfish. But he was blind, but he said, take me to the columns. Take me to the pillars. And then his prayer was, oh Lord, one last time. Lord, bless your servant. Glorify your name. Glorify your servant one more time. And in that act of faith in God, his cup filled up. His cup filled up. And the strength returned to him, and the grace of God was on him. And he pushed. And the pillars gave. And he killed more of the enemy in his death than he ever killed in his life. And he done it by faith in God. But his time had filled up. And so it was with John. Now his time's full. From creation to Noah. From Noah to Mount Sinai. From Sinai to Galatians 4 and 4, the Son came. Folks, it's been over 2,000 years, and the cup's filling up. The time, the fullness of time is filling up. And the message to us is, blessed are those who are not offended in me. Because we look and say, Lord, surely you can stop this. He could. He could have stopped Herod in his folly. But John's time was full. And he wanted to say to the disciples, don't lose heart by what happened to John. You've seen these things and wanted the disciples of John to be disciples of Christ. And that's the way it was supposed to work. But I wonder how many of them weren't. I wonder how many people so loved John and thought it a display of the human mind, the carnal nature, saying that, no, I'm offended. Jesus had more than that to offend people with. I'm going to tell you what he had some things to offend with. They thought that he ought to have shined with a crown on his head. And he dropped his head in humility.
Yes.
And they said, what kind of a king's this? Don't be offended in me, folks, if I lead you to humility instead of greatness of this world. Oh, don't be offended. Blessed are those who are not offended in me, because I'm going to tell you, this is a lonely way. Oh, they may have looked, and maybe even John himself could have maybe have played on the old notion that the Christ, the Messiah, maybe there should have been more than this. He had heard of Christ and the works already. And maybe he was thinking, and I always had in my mind that it would be brighter and bigger and shinier, and there would be more disturbance in there. Oh, he's not making enough disturbance. He's not conquering like we thought he would, and all these kind of things. And the Lord said, don't be offended in me. This thing isn't going to come with a sword. It ain't going to come because of greatness and lightning flashes. It's going to come in humility and lowliness. Don't be offended. Don't be offended, John. Don't be disciples of John. Don't be offended. People of the world, don't be offended. Saints today, don't be offended. When we cry, Lord, come to our rescue, and the answer is, the fullness of time has caught you, my child. Got better things for you. You got to end it. You're going to end it in glory. You're going to have one. You're going to have a shot. You're going to have a push. You're going to end in glory. But the time's full. Don't be offended by that. I've got the right way for you. I've got something good for you in this. I think John got that. I think John got that. I think there was a resignation, but the Lord has come. My job's done. My job's done. Go any way you want me to go now. That seems pretty gruesome to have his head on a platter. But that's the way it ended, folks. Could the Lord have stopped it? Could he have set a kingdom up on this earth and had John right there at the right hand to be glorified? Oh, yeah, he could have done it that way. Wasn't the plan. The most faithful servant and greatest man, the Lord said, was John the Baptist. He put him up highly, as men go, but his head ended up on a platter. And that stirs me. Lord, help me. We think of all the great, if we work hard enough, if we do enough, when we do this, we'll avoid the persecution of the world. And John didn't. It's because his time was full. Lord, help us to have a faith beyond the things that we can see of this life. It says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? Oh, we want to see the big things, don't we? Love to see a great religious movement, wouldn't you? Sure would. We all would. I like to see everybody in La Ronda be saved. I like to see just expansion everywhere. But blessed are those that aren't offended in me. You remember the story of Naaman? Naaman was a captain, I think. He was high up there. Got leprosy. Ended up being a little servant lady there from Israel, I think it was, and told him about if it was my Lord was in where the prophet's at, well, he had healed him. Remember the story? So here comes Naaman with all his pomp and show, and he comes with the presents, and he comes with all that, and he comes to the prophet to be healed. And he gets there and expecting some big thing, and the prophet didn't even come out. He just sent a servant and said, tell Naaman to go dip seven times in the Jordan and it'll be made whole. And he said his countenance was changed and he was angered. He was angered. How have I been treated here? Look how I've been treated. Somebody important comes along and this man don't even come out and he don't even acknowledge me and doesn't even do all those things. And he's huffing and puffing and saying, I'm going to go home. Wash in the Jordan. We got clean rivers over where I'm from. Don't need to go dip in that old dirty Jordan. We got better rivers than that. And he takes off in a huff. But his servant said, Master, if he had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it, folks? It's like that. We get like that. Oh, if he had had to climb the highest mountain and plucked an eagle's feather. If he had had to fight some of the wild beasts of the arenas, he'd have pulled his sword and got out there for his healing. And he'd have showed everybody he was man enough to get his healing. Man enough to do what it was to do. But you know what he asked him to do? Something anybody could do. All you have to do is humble yourself. And I, in my mind, I wonder how he did that. I just wonder how he did that. But he had it to do. And he realizes it, all that big company. I imagine if he knew what that, he wouldn't have wanted to brought that whole company with him. You know, you can do it better with one or two and maybe have them maybe turn around if you do it. But you know what he had to do? He had to man up. And in my mind, there were all these old camps around. They were watching. And they told him, go dip seven times. And he's thinking, this better work. Down he walks. I wonder if he turned around and looked. Oh, man. Down he goes. Dips down in the Jordan. And he's got to walk back out and say, one. Two. Oh, I wonder if the Lord wasn't just asking to humble himself to heal him. Three. Four. Five. Down we go. Six. It worked. It worked seven times, and it was made. His flesh was made like a baby's skin. It was done, and it was all done, and he was about to lose. He was about to lose the blessing, about to lose the healing, about to lose that because he wouldn't humble himself. Jesus saying there about of John, what went you out in the wilderness to see? What did you go out to see? You had something in your mind when you went out there. He said to the multitudes, what did you go out there to see? You had something in your mind when you went out there or you wouldn't have went. Something compelled you, folks. John's ministry was very successful. People went out to hear him. They believed God's message was through him and they went out there to hear him. What did you go out there for? To see a reed shaking in the wind? You know there's a given to this. Jesus' word, there was a given to this. You didn't go out there to see a reed and you know you didn't. Nobody would. Nobody would go out there and see something that just shakes around and blows around. You didn't go out there and you know you didn't. You went out there to hear something that was true and right and that's what you went out there for and you wasn't disappointed. John wasn't tossed to and fro. John was solid.
Yes.
He was steady. He made it all the way and you went out there to see him. That says something to me. It says that these people wondered that they found value in it.
Yes.
Folks, listen, the cup is being filled up. The fullness of time is being filled up. We need to be solid.
Amen.
We need to have something on hand. We've got to deal with what's coming if you want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, the message's not for you. But if you want to be saved, you're going to have something. You can't be tossed to and fro. You can't come to one meeting and be saved and then not at the next. And then come, you've just got to end. You can't be like a reed. I ain't impressed with it and neither are you. And God ain't impressed with it either. And that's not what salvation is. There's something more than that. Folks, it's being filled up fast. Our time's being filled up. And God, we need something solid. Something better than that. We need something that's going to last. I'm going to have something I'm going to have to face some things with. Be offended in me? You're going to be offended in the Lord? Do you know one of the things that we are challenged with? It don't get no better from here out, folks. One of the things we're going to be greatly challenged with is the fact that we're Christians. Is there going to be a time that we're going to have to, are we going to have to drop our heads and not pray? Are we not going to be able to pray in open? Are we going to be too ashamed to pray in all? Oh, you're one of those. You're one of those people. Blessed are those that are not offended in me. But that hold true.
Yes.
Folks, that's my intention.
Yes, me too.
I look at the world and I say, Lord, give me the grace. Because I'm aiming to run through. I want to be the one that runs through the truth. I want to leap over the wall. I want to end this thing right up. I want to have the grace. Not arrogance. I want boldness. I want grace. Lord, help me to be able to stand in this the way you stand. I want to be able to see what the Lord can do in this time. More and more, there's a challenge to Christianity as a whole. More and more, there's a challenge to it. More and more, it's looked as evil and wrong and bad, and you're bad people. And it's a wrong way of doing it. No wonder the Lord taught him that in their time. No wonder the Lord said all these things. Yeah, all these things are happening, but let's get the other side. We get in a building like this, we can all say hallelujah. But it ain't all here, folks. Most of our life in a camp meeting. This only happens a few days. The rest of it's out there in life. Sure, he could say to his disciples, which is the way this started off, he was instructing his disciples. That's a great place in there doing that. But you're going to get out there into the Roman world and they're going to say what? You're going to get out there in the Jewish world and they're going to want to condemn you and run you down. And you're going to have to mention what? I believe in Jesus. You know what that's going to bring to you? Well, Lord, can I take the healing of the blind thing and the deaf receiving their being able to hear and the gospel preached to the poor? Can I take that? That's just beautiful. This head on the platter thing sure gets ugly. Folks, it's the way it's always been. There could be people among us that's going to have to give their life for it. But it ain't unusual. People have done it all the way down through. All the way down through. Here was John. Here was John right there in the... He was right there in the place. He was right there into the prison. He wanted to know. I want to know too. Lord, I'm willing to die. All I need to know is am I dying right?
That's right.
Am I dying right? Am I standing in the right place? Lord, help me to know right here, right now. Time's full. Time's filling up. This thing's coming and rolling fast. Lord, help me to stand where I need to stand. I don't know what the seeds today might sprout for tomorrow. Lord, help me to be in the right place. I need grace. I need help. I need the Lord to do something for me. I admire some of the Scriptures. I think the Scripture lessons was given to us for a reason. I mean, I probably mention as much as anything else in the Scriptures, the stories of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And why? Because they stood. I didn't go out to see a reed and wouldn't want to read about it. They didn't shake. They didn't waver. Was they willing to die? If it took it, they was willing to die. Whatever it was they saying God ain't God because I'm in this place? They said if we burn, we burn. If we don't, we're still not bound to that. God will have victory one way or the other for us. We're going to live for God all the way through. My time must be, if it's full, it's full. But I got to know, Lord, I got to know. Lord, help us to stand. Help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Lord, help us to go through this world, this perilous times that we're facing. Help us to go through it with grace. Help us to have love when love wouldn't be the normal thing to have. We should always say, I feel like in this upcoming time, I think it's right to preach against some of the things that's happening to this. Abortion's terrible. Flat out terrible. I wouldn't harm them or the ones that do them. Not one hair of them. I wouldn't ruffle them any other way than their soul. I love every one of them. I want to proclaim to the whole world through the internet tonight. This will get on there. I want to proclaim that we love people and we wouldn't hurt them in any way, fashion, or form. We want better lives for them. We want them to make heaven. We want God to bless them. There's a thing called alternative lifestyle, same-sex marriage, those kind of things. I want to publicly say we love every one of them. We want them to have better lives and better things. The ways are wrong. God condemns it. It's unnatural, unholy. But we love them. Lord, help me to face it the way we need to face it in this our time. We're still the church and we're going to keep on marching. We're going to keep on going. But time's filling up, folks. Oh, we got a destiny. We got a thing ahead of us. God made us for this time. To go on and be a light, a shining light, and an example to a world that's fastly going. It's a challenge. Lord, help us to take the challenge. John took his challenge, and he was successful. Lord, help us to be successful in our time, too. To be able to stand against that. I want everything that's right and good and wholesome in everybody's life. I'll help anybody. We'll feed anybody. We'll go to the mosque. We'll do whatever we can do for all people. We love them all. But we've got to stand up and tell the truth too. What if statements like I just make put me in a place like John was in? Do I quit making them? Can't do it, Brother Ed. Can't do it. The Bible would condemn us stopping. We've got to proclaim it. We've got to proclaim that the Lord, and you know what the message is going to be more and more as we go? It's going to be John's message. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. The Lord's coming. Repent. Come on, folks. You can't go this way. The Scripture says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. We're forgetting God. Oh, can't you see it? Oh, enlighten, Lord help. Enlighten people's eyes. Can't you not see it? The smarter we think we are, the worse it happens. Killing, drugs, those kind of things. Are we smart enough to stop it? No, we haven't stopped it. What's the Lord doing? Waiting till He proves that we can't? I don't know. But time's filling up. It's filling up. I want to be like John. And I admit to you, there's times that I do say, Lord, help me to know. All I've got to do is know. I don't see you in this. And I need to know. I want something here. I need a scripture. I need a song. I need something. You ever been there? You ever been in a place like that? Oh, I've told of it many times, but it's my testimony. I can tell it. When my first wife was dying, I got in a shape. Battled, labored, up, got down. I was encouraged. I was discouraged too. Up and down. I remember the night that I said, Lord, I'm done. I wasn't quitting the Lord. Had no mind to quit the Lord. I just said, I'm done. I don't know what else to pray. I don't know what else to say. I don't know how to approach you anymore. Lord, I'm ever with the end. Oh, I'm going to tell you. The wind is open. And there was something poured out on me that night. Never changed, no circumstances, but it sure changed me. God gave me the realization of the grace of God. Right there. And I knew, come what may, I'll be successful by the grace of God. It charged me. It lit me up. It lit me up. Do you know, folks, we've got the right to go to Him that way?
Yes, we do.
And get an answer? Time's filling up. And our desire is that we all be successful all the way to the end. That I can't look down the corridors of time and see where my steps will go. But He knows my way. As He brought John, did the Scriptures not say he was known in his mother's womb? Didn't he get the Spirit in his mother's womb? God knew John. John was a product that the Lord had brought. And he was a man that fulfilled that. And yet he's here in prison. Imprisoned. Can a person that lives like that end up in prison? Can he end up with his head off? You know, it was necessary that it happened. There was no conflict between John and Jesus or the disciples. It had to be turned over to the Lord. And well, it should be. For He's, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. His Son has come. But folks, this gospel plan is the old story now. This is the old gospel story now. It's not the new plan. It's the old gospel that's been around. And it's been around. And times are changing. We look at our times, like the United States. I saw something just recently that kind of took me. They was talking about how many countries across the world has accepted same-sex marriage. It staggers the mind. It's already been accepted across the world, many, many places. We're dragging our feet, according to them. You just as well give in. We got you now. That's their language. They are right. They are. that's the way we're headed. Time's filling up. But I don't want us to be discouraged tonight. I want us to be encouraged about something. God never loses. God never loses. I would be extremely fearful tonight not to be saved. There is an answer. And it's in the Lord. Giving it over to the Lord. Lord, I'll be honest with you. There's been times I never considered myself natural to this job. I'm getting up and preaching. The Lord had to do something with me. But I'm going to tell you something. I thank God He did it for me. I thank God He allowed me the opportunity to plow. Lord, help me to plow. Help me to make the ground ready for the hearts. Lord, give me a burden. I hope we all say that. Lord, help me to have my space and time to be as successful to God as I can be. And when that time fills up, give me the grace to say that it was all about You anyway and not me. Many of you knew Brother Austis Wilson. Many of you didn't, probably, because he was an old guy when I met him, and he's been gone for a number of years. I appreciated him very much. A man of wisdom and of good counsel, a man that seemed to give his heart to the Lord and live for the Lord for a long, long time, a faithful man. But you know, the end of his life, he died the way he was buried and all. I thought there should have been trumpets or something going on. It was awful simple. Didn't mount a whole lot, folks. It didn't. I always thought about that. After all that he had done and labored. I'm just saying, it seems like it to me that there should have been a lot more something happened. But it didn't. It was all about the Lord anyway. All those labors, all that wasn't about a man named Brother Austis. I appreciate him and honored him for his work's sake. But it was the Lord using him. We mentioned Brother Sammons many times, folks. You know what? Brother Sammons was an old drunk, and he had told you that. Till the Lord got hold of him. He wasn't nothing he'd done in himself or could do. He was an old drunk. The old apostle Paul said he was the least of all. Why? Because he knew that it was only the grace of God that made him what he was. Lord, help us in this day and time. I hope the Lord blesses this thought to your heart, and I hope it goes for a long, long ways. Time's filling up. I'm 50 years old now. My time's filling up. But I see more than that. This old earth is waxing old like a garment. This old world is going right down the old prophecy path.
That's right.
And it's quickly getting there. Lord bless each one of us. Amen.